So we'll discuss some inyane shvuas. So there's a mitzvah on Yantiv, not just limited to shvuas, but we'll see how shvuas is different. There's a mitzvah on the shalosh regalim of simchas Yantiv. And as well, perhaps there's a discussion, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is an element of simcha as well. We'll save that for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. But there's a basic mitzvah of simcha, the Gemara in Psachim, and Avi Psachim talks about simcha with basar and yayin, Bizman Beis HaMikdash Kayim, and we didn't have, so what about Bizman HaZeh? We don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't have the Karbanos, does Simcha retain its biblical status? So that's a major machlokas harishonim, whether Simcha Bizman HaZeh is a mitzvah min HaTorah or a mitzvah midrabanan. It's actually a double machlokas, Rambam and the Baalei Tosfos. It's based on the Gemara Moed Katan, Daf Yudalet Amud Beis. The Gemara tells us that there is no Avelis on Yontif. Now, how come we don't have Avelis on Yontif? So the Gemara tells us because the mitzvah derabim of Simcha, the public mitzvah of Simcha, overrides the private mitzvah of Avelis, because Simcha is for the Klal Yisrael, Avelis is a private affair, and hence the public mitzvah of Simcha beats out the private, that's the Gemara. So how do you learn this Gemara? So the Rambam learns the Gemara in both ways. So there's one issue is, what is the mitzvah of Simcha deraisa derabanan, and what about the mitzvah of Avelis? So the Rambam shita is, the mitzvah of Simcha, even Bizman HaZeh, is a mitzvah in HaTorah. It's apparently not linked only exclusively to the Karbanos. And even though we don't have Karbanos today, we still have the element of Simcha, as Rav Soloveitchik explains, being with Nei Hashem Elokech, that's enough, that's an element of Simcha. And whatever the Pshat in the Rambam is clear, the mitzvah of Simcha is Daraisa today. And who adin by Avelis? The Rambam Shita is another Svardi Rishonim. Avelis Yom Rishon is Daraisa. The Shita of the Rambam is that Avelis on the first day is biblical. There's a further discussion whether you need Yom Misa and Kfura or just Kfura itself, but whatever the Shita is, Avelis Yom Rishon is Daraisa. So therefore, the Rambam learns the Gemara as follows. The public biblical mitzvah of Simcha beats out the private biblical mitzvah of Avelis, and that's how you learn the Gemara. The Baalei Tosfos learn the other extreme, that they hold the mitzvah of Simcha derais only bizman beis hamikdash kayim. You need the karbanos, the basar shlamim. Bizman hazeh is a mitzvah of Simcha, but it's only derabanan today. And as well, the shita of the Baalei Tosfos and the shita's harama and the minhag Ashkenaz is even Avelis Yom Rishon is derabanan. All Avelis is derabanan. There's a concept of aninas, other things that perhaps are deraisa, but Avelis, the Hugei Avelis are only derabanan. So that's so how does Tosfos learn the Gemara? The public rabbinical mitzvah of Simchas Yontov beats out the private rabbinical mitzvah of Avelis. So according to the Rambam and Tosfos, they both learned the Gemara differently, but they're both consistent with their view. Interesting, there's what about the following Shaila? So it's clear if you have a public biblical mitzvah, beats out a private biblical, and it's simple that if you have a public rabbinical, it beats out a private rabbinical. What about a public rabbinical versus a private biblical? So that's an interesting discussion. The Gemara in Brachas, Daf Mem Zayin, the Gemara talks about Rabbi Eliezer freeing a slave. So he walked into town, and there were only nine, and he had his Eved Kenani, and he went ahead and he freed his slaves. So the Gemara says, freed his slave? Doesn't he know Olam Behem Tavod? There's a prohibition. It's an Isser Aseh. So the Gemara says, no, he did it for a mitzvah. He did it for, we'll see what mitzvah in a minute. So the Gemara says, yeah, I know what mitzvah did. Doesn't he know the principle? As the Gemara tells us in Lulav HaGazel, mitzvah haba b'aveira. So what? It's a mitzvah. You can't do a mitzvah to the means in aveira. So the Gemara answers, mitzvah derabim shani. A public mitzvah is different. So either way, so the Gemara says, the public mitzvah of whatever we'll call a minyan, whatever it was, beats out the private biblical prohibition of freeing a slave. So what's the simple reading of that Gemara? That we see this seems to be a case where you have a public rabbinical mitzvah, Tzvila B'Tzibur, versus a private biblical, and we see from here that a public rabbinical mitzvah wins. We could see those want to argue with that and say, no, maybe we're talking about a public biblical mitzvah. What public biblical mitzvah could we be talking about? So actually, it's a famous rush by Parsha Zachar, which he says not to say, but others might say, if he's saying not to, that means someone else is saying to say it. In other words, there's different sheets on how do you fulfill your mitzvah Parsha Zachar. So the Rambam, everyone agrees you need Zachar Bepeh. Everyone agrees you have to verbalize it, and that's the Rambam Shita. Tosa says you have to verbalize it with the Sefer Torah. You have to read it from a Sefer Torah. And the Rush says you have to read it with the Sefer Torah with a minyan. Where does he get it from? Because the Gemara says, so the Rush writes over there, and don't tell me, you know why Rabbi Eliezer was able to free his slave? Because it was for Parsha Zachar. And therefore he wanted to fulfill the biblical mitzvah. So the question is, so what is freeing the Kasha, what's the Rush talking about? What does freeing a slave have to do? Elovaden, we see from the Rush is a Shita is, that you need to fulfill the mitzvah Parsha Zachar with a minyan. He just disagrees and he says that's not what Rabbi Eliezer, it wasn't Shabbos Parsha Zachar there. So others say, so if you hold it is Parsha Zachar, if you hold that Zachar it was, then you wouldn't bring a raya, so you can't bring me a proof. Tosis over there raises a more pragmatic question, which comes up a lot, or it's not uncommon. The last day of Yontif, so in Chutz Laretz, you have Yontif Sheni Shagolius. That's a mitzvah midrabanan, but it's a mitzvah derabim. So let's say you have Avelis, whatever the case is, let's say someone died on Cholomite, so you already did the Kura, and now you're going to do the Avelis, we'll begin right after Yontif. So when do you begin Avelis? So that depends on this Shaila. If you hold a public rabbinical mitzvah of Yontif Sheni wins. Again, according to the Rama, it's not a Shaila. According to us, Bnei Ashkenaz, there is no question because it's the Rabbanan. Everything's Rabbanan, so you wait until after Yontif Sheni. But if you hold that Avelos Yom Rishon is the Raisa, so we have a case where a mitzvah diyachid verse, so that's a machlokas in the Rishonim. Halach l'maisa, what do we do? What's the minig? Since we have a cloud by Avelos, Halacha l'divrei hamekel ba'aveilus. So therefore, what we do is we count Yontif Sheni as day one, but we don't start actually doing the hugei aveilus until the first day after. So so that would depend on that shaila. That's the machlokas we showed him today between the Rambam and the Bali Tosis, whether the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif today is a mitzvah in our Torah or a mitzvah midrabanan. Okay. So the Gemara. So now to the Gemara Msachim Daf Samach Vav, Samach Zayin or Samach Ches, one of the two. And Samach Ches Amar Beis points out that that was the official time. I believe so, yeah. In fact,
people do that? That's counted as day one?
Yeah, because we're talking about someone, let's say...
Never heard that.
If someone dies over Yontif, so you bury them on Chol HaMoed, so then when do you begin Avelis? So, I thought the minig was you count Yontif Sheni as day one, but you don't really start the Hugei Avelis on day two, because Halacha L'Divrei Hamekel. Are you familiar with that minig or not? Let's say someone dies on Yontif. And so when does Avelis begin? You know, Yontif, because the Shiloh that begins
second
on
day, the second day of Yontif.
Yeah,
they count the second day of Yontif as the first day of Avelis.
Yeah, even though we don't know Hig Avelis.
Right.
Yeah, no. Yeah,
because yeah.
In fact, I had the Shiloh. Maybe it was Pesach. I just had it up. It must have been Pesach or Sukkot because it wasn't Pesach this time. Must have been Sukkot then, because I had it. Someone died. It was over. They died over Yontif, and so we had to do. I remember because they were actually because they were going to do the burial in Winnipeg, and I was telling him that the Avelis, you know, I guess the conservative rabbi was telling him something else out there. I was more mako. I was telling him the shiva is over a day earlier, but because he was counting, you know, he was just counting from out there. Because since the machok has shown him, so alacha deri amako, so we take both kulas.
Actually, it's a mission in the end of chagiga.
So
in Israel, it's not counted.
No, it's true, because when Yantiv is over, it's over. Unless, of course, you're keeping Yantiv Sheni in Israel, then you'll have the same Shaila. That gets into, it depends which part of Lazar's family we're talking about. Everyone has a different Shita there. Elisheva was telling me. I think she was with Pesach 1 year or one.
Yeah, we had them all. We had all the different. 2 days, 1.5 days, and 1 day—all going on simultaneously.
So that's the machlokes by Simchas Yontif, the Reis of the Rabbanan. So the machlokes in the Gemara Msachim. How do you observe? So whether you say Simchas Yontif is the Reis of the Rabbanan, but how do you observe it? So that's the machlokes, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer says it's either kul Hashem, kul Lachem, either. You could learn and daven all day, or you could party all day. Or Rabbi Yeshua says, Chatzi Lashem, what is it based on? Vishneim, they both darsh in different psukim. One pasuk says, Atzeret Lashem Olkechem. Another pasuk says, Atzeret Lachem. So one says it's Lashem, one says it's Lachem. So how do you reconcile? So Rabbi Lazar says, when you have two psukim, the Israel of Yosef Engel points out we have a general principle when you have two psukim who are machir zeh, what do we wait for? Vahashrishi machriya beneim. But so the question is, what happens when you don't have a third pasuk? That's the Gemara here. What do you do when you don't have a third pasuk? This is the machlokas Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi says, look, either or, you could pick either Lashem or Lachem. Of course, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, you have to have your minimum Kiddush and a Suda, but we all know the difference between a weeknight meal and a Yantiv meal. A weeknight meal takes a couple of minutes. A Yantiv meal could take a couple of hours, but you're still going to need the minimum. But so they darshan it from the Pesukim. So Yeshua says, Chatzi Lashem v'chatzi Lachem. And in fact, it's Rabbi Eliezer l'shitasan. The Gemara in Beya talks about, I think he was giving his shiur on Yantiv, and he was getting upset because he was going on and on and on, and you know, like it works. People in the back started sneaking out one by one, and he was getting upset at the people leaving because he was upset because Lushitasan, he felt they don't have to, where they sneak out to go to the Sudas Yantiv. He says you should be, you know, he passing for them, it's called Hashem, and either way. So we passing our Rabbi Yeshua, it's Chatzi Lashem, Chatzi Lachem. In fact, the Rambam even gives us the order. And we assume even on Shabbos like this, the Chatzi Lashem. That's why he goes to the order. First you daven Friday night, then you go and have the Suda, etc. That's why you have the davening. First Chatzi Lashem and Chatzi Lashem. That's why the Vilna Gaon didn't like the practice that, let's say, quote-unquote early Shabbos like we have now. I don't know whether you liked early Shabbos, not a separate discussion, but I mean, it's a different minhagim, not that many, but normal early Shabbos is you daven and then you go home and eat. But that there used to be an old minig, I don't know, people, it makes sense more if you're in a yeshiva and when no one's not going anywhere. Basically, you daven mincha, you would go then, you know, maybe Kabbalah Shabbos, you'd go and have your suda, and then, you know, 2-3 hours later, you'd go back and daven of Meir of Bismanum, you know, Shema. So the Vilna Gaon, you know, he was against that because he felt you need Chatzi Hashem first. You know, on Chatzi Lachem. But you know, there's some machronim bring down that minute. That's not the prevalent minute today. Anyway, I don't think because of the growth taina, people don't want to come back again. That's one of the reasons they want to go. They want to go for the Plag HaMincha minyan and then not come back after. So that's how we pass in Chatzi Lashem and Chatzi Lachem. That's the machlokas regarding Pesach and Sukkot. So that's the machlokas Rabbi Eliezer Yeshua. Comes along the Gemara, however, regarding Atzeres, Hakol Modim, Modim Debainim Lachemet. Even Rabbi Elazar, who gives you the option of not having a major festive meal on, who gives you the option of not having one on Pesach and Sukkot, on Shavuos, he's moda to Rabbi Yeshua, you have to have a festive meal. My taima, what's the reason? So Gemara says, Yom Shenitna Bo Torah. It was the day the Torah was given. Then the Gemara goes on to give two other days where you also, Shabbos in Nidu Achem, Becharasago Shabbos Oneg, and also the Gemara says Purim as well, that by Yemei Mishta V'Simcha Ksiv, and those are the three places the Gemara says that everyone's mode, every Shabbos, you have to have a festive meal. Purim, and that's why Poskim say, regarding the Shiloh of Simchas Yantav and meat, it could be Purim of all days might have the biggest chiyuv to have you. It's easy to get of eating meat on like Yantav, but meat is, if you only have to have meat one day of the year, some would say it should be Purim is more of an Indian, but you know, different minhagim, whether you do on, besides Shavuos issue of having dairy or not, that's a separate question, whether dairy's in addition to meat or instead of meat, but that, you know, we'll see if I have time to get into that. But either way, they point out, so it's Yom Shenitna Bo Torah. So the question is obvious. It should be the opposite. I think the Gemara got a kol modim. Rabbi Yeshua should be modim to Rabbi Eliezer. That on Shavuos night, because it's Yom Shenitna Bo Torah, that's the day you should be learning all night. And that's the custom. We learn all night. So what's going on here? So what's the pshat in the Gemara in Rabbi Eliezer? So the Mefarshim explain is that we see from this Gemara, and that's the Ramban in Parshas Mishpatim. It says, the Torah says, Vayochu Vayishtu. At Har Sinai, they ate and they drank, they were having a big party. Some in Chazal criticized, but others say, no, it was a good thing. They were, and from here, the Ramban says it was a good thing. Mikan, we learn out from Har Sinai that anytime you have any type of simcha by Torah, you make a suda. You have to make a suda soda. So they're making a suda. Anytime there's any accomplishment by Torah, we make a suda. And that's what Rabbi Lezer is saying here. Even Rabbi Lezer agrees when it comes to Torah, we have to make a simcha. In fact, that's so we can explain as well. What's the connection to Purim? So why on Purim, why do we have to have a meal? Because usually Purim and Chanukah are usually comparable. They're both post-biblical, and there are many similarities between Chanukah and Purim. So what are the differences? It's always interesting to see the difference when something's, if things are so far apart, like, so what's the difference? Differences. But when things are similar, it's always interesting to see the differences. So one of the major differences is, not according to the Rambam, but according to everyone else, that there's a Chiyuv Suda to eat on Purim, but on Chanukah there is no Chiyuv Suda. So everyone discusses why on Purim is there a Chiyuv Suda, but not on Chanukah. So there's a famous answer of the Lavush, because Chanukah, it was a spiritual thing. They wanted us to assimilate and accept the Torah. It wasn't a fit. So we celebrate through Hallel, Hodah, near Chanukah. But Purim, the Hashvim, the Hagar's called Yudim, we celebrate in a physical way. That's the famous answer of the Lavush. But it's not as famous answer in the Shiltis that they say no, because what happened on Purim? That's the famous Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Peches, where Vayitzyatzvu betachtis ahar. And the Gemara says, Kol fanu lav har kagigas. The God tilted over the mountain and said, if you accept the Torah, good. If not, here will be your kfuraskam. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? It's great. It was forced upon us. Mikan mo de rabba da rais. If that's the case, the Torah is not binding. The Gemara says, sorry, it's not going to help you. We could go back and discuss. The Gemara says, you're right, on Purim time, Kimu v'kibu, Kimu v'shekibu k'fa, they accepted the Torah b'simcha. So from Purim time and on, it was binding. Either Rishonim asked, so what about then between the time of from Matan Torah until Purim? In fact, we see that because the laws of Shemitah, we say they didn't keep them, they were punished. So different discussions, how do you explain the time period before Purim. But either way, for us, it doesn't make a difference. We're post-Purim. So therefore, we accepted the Torah B'Ava. So that's why we have a Suda on Purim. Purim is a day of Kabbalah HaTorah. It's a day like Shavuos. In fact, we have four. We know there are Abba Rosh Hashanah. So Rav Shecht always likes to say there are four days of Kabbalah HaTorah. We have the day of the Luchos Rishonas, Shavuos. We have Yom Kippur, the Luchos Shnius. According to the Kedushas Levi Purim, we have the Torah Shabbat Peh. And we just had recently, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, Lag BaOmer, we had the Torah Hanister. So either way, so I guess that's why in Lag BaOmer, that's the reason to have a Chi of Suda as well then, apparently. That's why they go to Meiron and they have a festive meal. It's a time of Kabbalah Satorah. That's why also, that's the famous Nitziv by the Karban Toda. He says, how come the Karban Toda, it's much bigger, it's much more food than its peers in terms of what you have to bring, and you have to finish it in a less time. So he said, because that's the Yisod. When you're doing a Karban Toda, obviously you can't eat it yourself. You got to bring friends in, and you have to publicize it. And that's what Torah is all about, that you have to, that's why that's the Ramban by Birkas HaTorah. The Ramban writes that Birkas HaTorah is a mitzvah min HaTorah. It's a Birkas Shevach V'Hodah. It's a bracha thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day, that God gave us the Torah. So that's what they point out here, that by Shavuos, that's what Rabbi Lez is saying. Because it's Yom Sheninna Bo Torah, that's the reason why you definitely have to have a chiyuv. Because any type of accomplishment with Torah is mechayev you to have a sudas hodah. And in fact, that's what they, and so today point out al pi makshava, the same concept, that obviously, in Judaism, in contrast to other religions, in terms of what's considered holiness, what's kedusha. So in other religions, it's going to a monastery, not getting married, staying away from the physical pleasures. But gufa, that's what the Torah is teaching us. Says no, it's yom. So one would think, yom shin about Torah. So you'll think you go like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, you go hide in the cave, you'll just go away. How do I celebrate the Torah? By just going into the Beis HaMedrash, not leaving for 24, 48 hours. And I'm just sitting and learning the whole time. And I'm not against that, but you just have to come and take a break for eating and doing other things as well. But that's what the Torah is telling us. Gufa, that's the whole essence of the Torah, is Kedoshim Tiyu, is Makadosh Shecho, is taking the physical things and using them. In fact, that's why we learn out from Avram Avinu, the Gemara tells us in Shabbos as well, we learn out from the story in the beginning of Vayera that when Avram was recovering from the Brit Mila, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing Bikur Cholem, and we learn out Gedola HaKnosis Archim Mikabolas Pnei Ashchina. So how Avram knew it, that's a separate Shaila. But because the Rav Alpin explains, how did he know it? Because God told him. Well, where do we see God telling him? He says, no, based on the Rambam. The Rambam tells us about the Moshe Rabbeinu was of the Nevi'im, and only Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking Panim Apanim. All the other Nevi'im, when they got Nevuah, they were in a spaced out, sleeping, dreaming. So every time when Avram was speaking to God before, it was like pitch black, he was dazed. All of a sudden, in the middle of speaking to God, he sees these three people. He says, why am I seeing someone? It must be God's teaching me, God's telling me, I got to take care of business here. And the Gemara says, Gedola Hachnosis Archim. In other words, if you want to get closer to God, how do you do it? By just speaking to God. We know talk is cheap in our religion. You have to go ahead and do things. So God would say, so that's what the Gemara is telling us, by doing acts of imitation, doing acts of chesed, that's how you come closer. So it's Yom Shinna Bo Torah. It's not just enough of this, the dangers of getting caught up in the exclusive spiritual. We have to combine both the Kodesh and Chol, and that's why it's Yom Shinna Bo Torah. So that's why that's goofy why we have to have a Chi of Suda. What's this Indian of having milk, some milk and meat or not? So the different minhagim, it's depending on what the source of having milk is. Based on the Ramah says it's based on the Shtei HaLechem, that we want to have two, because the Shtei HaLechem, you have the two bread. So he says, so according to Ramah, what do? You start off with a dairy meal. So the halacha is, we all know that you can't, if you cut up with a milk knife, the bread, you're not supposed to use that bread for meat. Ramosha has a kula, the stuff that's cut up is not made kula. But let's say you only cut up a quarter of a challah, half a challah, Ramosha's meiko, if you want to make French toast Sunday morning on it, or then you can, assuming French toast is milchiks anyway. But the stuff that's cut up, but in general, so the Ramah wants to give us an area where we have to use a different bread. So first have dairy, do your necessary things that to be mafsik, wash your hands, and then you go, so that's based on the Shtei Halechem. The Mishnah Brura gives the famous one, they tell, you know, kids and stuff, is that basically we just got the Torah, we didn't know anything about kosher. We know how long it is to learn about kosher, all the laws of Hilchas Shechita, Malich, all that, so they didn't have time to start learning all of Hilchas Kashra, so they started learning, I guess that was the meaning of people just thinking all dairy is good, then you don't need Hashkacha, right? But that's why, but dairy is a lot easier to be kosher, so therefore until they got their act together. I think the Magen Avraham quotes from the Shla, the Arizal, that really has to do with, we're counting, it's like a woman counts Shiva and the Kiyam, we're counting the Shiva Shvuas, we're counting the 7 weeks, the time of purity between Kabbalah Sator, between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah, and therefore milk represents purity, so therefore there's a concept of having dairy meal. Others say, I think the Yeshua Yaakov says, that along the lines that we were saying, that the whole purpose is, that's the base of Levi says something similar, when God was giving the Torah to, showing it to Avram, giving it to Moshe, the angels were saying, no, it's for us, they're going to sin. No, he says, could you keep milk and meat, all that? He basically showed the Torah is not for the angels, the Torah is for human beings. So you want to put a scenario where, kind of like the Ramah, you need halachic reasons to work it out. But the Yeshua Yaakov said, Dam Nekar V'Nasa Cholav, that it starts off as blood, and whatever that means, the Gemara, and it turns into milk. I'm not sure what it means, but that's what the principle is, that something that starts off as Dam Tameh, and it turns into purity. That's what Shavuos is all about. As the Gemara tells us at the end of that Gemara, as Rav Yosef, on every Shavuos, on Atzeres, he used to take an igla, like a piece of calf, like the Gemara said in Megillah. He took a nice piece of beef ribs. I don't know if it was beef ribs, Miami ribs, beef tenderloin. I don't know, but it was clearly meat. And he used to take it out, and it says, if Lekha Atzeres, if it wasn't for Atzeres, I'd be Ike Yosef Beshuk, I'd be like any Joe in the Shuk. In other words, basically because it's Talmud, it's the Yantav Shavuos, we got the Torah, that distinguishes us. We could take the Torah and everyday life in Makadosh, that's what he says. The dairy somehow, you take the Dam and it's Nekar Cholav, and therefore we have the Torah has the ability to Makadosh Shechol, to take someone's tummy, and those are, you know, different reasons. So based on some of those reasons, you should have milk and then meat. According to others, it's enough just to have milk, or you could just have milk, you know, you could have milk, you know, treats. So that was, again, different minhagim. Again, you know, what, you know, whether you should have that milk, you know, whether you should have milk at all during the meals, or there should be milk in addition. That gets into what Yeshita is in terms of Simchas Yantiv. You know, Rosh Hashanah was very always machmer, and even on bris. A Sudas bris, Sudas mitzvah, he felt you should have it. It won't go over that well in the morning, but he felt you should have meat on a bris. What's this bagel and lox stuff? But either way, you know, so again, this would depend more on what your sheet is in general.
So if you insist on doing that, that bris should be done, because what did he do? Meat on the morning, or did he have the bris in the evening?
I assume he still had it in the morning, but I could check and stuff and make sure, but I don't think he, because that's a bigger problem. You mean if he had the bris and had the suda later? I'm not saying his own bris, I'm saying, but if someone...
Yeah. What did he recommend?
Because
that's actually a very good question. Well, I mean, it's a Sudas Mitzvah.
He's definitely doing... I definitely don't think he's pushing off the bris. I assume he definitely wants to do... If anything, that gets into Inyan, is it okay to have the Suda later? Because definitely does, because against pushing off the bris, I mean, I assume he'd have the Suda in the morning. It's like on Shabbos, we have the Chilwin in the morning. You could do, I guess. Right. It depends what his sheet is. I'm not sure if he holds it. So it's even lechatchila to have the suda later.
I understand the idea of simcha requiring meat. Why does Sudas Mitzvah require meat?
I guess no. It's, I guess he's assuming.
How can you do tzimcha?
No, like, well, it depends. I guess maybe.
But there's no din of shlomi, and there's no din.
Oh yeah, but what, I don't know. If like maybe for like a baal abris and that, there's no element of simcha.
But it's not. It wouldn't be something that would mandate.
Oh yeah, no. Yeah. Right. I guess it's.
So just because there's simcha doesn't.
No, I guess it could be.
Of meat.
I, no, I guess you're right. I guess it could be like kind of like called tikkun derabbanan kein derais, that since you're patterning after simcha. On the Torah level, yeah, it's not the same. Well, I think it'd be mode. It's not the same as that. But I think, you know, that's his. I know he's. I haven't actually been at the Bris where he's. But people have told me that's where Shecht is makbid on, meaning if not that he wouldn't eat bagel and lax if it's served, but he thinks that you should have, you know, a meat meal, right? But I guess it's borrowed from that. I'm guessing that's what it's from because you're right. There's no the Iker Simcha you don't have even was never. In terms of the carbon, you know, carbonates and all that. Right, also the bris is a shiloh in terms, yeah, in terms of that, in terms of like, if you have a bris during the 9 days, it's a shiloh, you mean? Or everyone agrees you could have. I think that's your come. Yeah. Also, like a bris during the 9 days.
Right.
Does the people have meat during? Do people have meat during the 9 days or not for a bris? Is that enough of a simcha?
They have
I know it's a shy. What's considered enough of a suda's mitzvah? I forget. I have to check regarding that's what you check. You see if someone has meat in a suda's bris milah, then they take.
Well, I've seen meat in a suda's bris milah.
No, but on Tisha B'Av, I mean during the 9 days.
9 days.
So during the year, you're not taking any stand. What I'm saying is, during the 9 days, you'll be taking a stand. If you're holding it's a suda's mitzvah and yadavka should have me, because but you're saying because suda's mitzvah don't have me. Yeah.
Same way during the 9 days you can do, but by siyum, I think you can do it if you have a bris.
Yeah, no, I think a bris, I have to check up when I will get, but I remember, look, so I forgot, I thought bris was counted, but I have to, I'm not sure. But that would be,
that's the whole idea of the siyum. The siyum brings in what elements? It's a suda's mitzvah. Right? When you make a siyum during the 9 days,
it's not just a suda's mitzvah. It's because there's a simcha in completing the siyum.
Yeah, I heard it.
I understand. So you're
supposed to eat because
that's
because
yom shenit. It's for this reason yom shenit about. But actually, that's what they say. You're supposed to feel the simcha of you. Let's say you made the siyum, I didn't. In theory, I'm supposed to feel your simcha.
Right.
Yeah.
But again, there's still that piece. Even if there's simcha. Right,
but you're saying, yeah, but who?
Right, the only issue. No, that,
right. Right. But you're assuming all right, because we assume that today halacha l'maisa ain't simcha l'yayin.
Correct. Yeah. Because ain't simcha l'basa. The only basa was shlomim. So now you're going
right.
To basa shlomim by yomtiv, which has a chiyuv. To now you're saying it by a sudas mitzvah.
Exactly. Because even yomtiv, because yomtiv make right, then you don't even need basa. Yeah.
Right.
No, I agree. Yeah.
So how?
No, I don't think so. No, so I think he's.
It's a kash on. I just realized it's a kash on the minhag that we have that you know we have a siyum during the 9 days and that matters us to have meat.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a kash. I think what we're saying is that he's saying there's a. You don't necessarily have to have a chiyav, but let's say, but even if you hold there's no chiyav on yantiv, but definitely could be a recommended thing. Like even let's say for let's say it's the same thing. Even so.
But not when you have a prohibition.
No, but
during that time.
No, but
the fact.
No, but depends if
it's the prohibition of not eating meat is a din in the veil. It's a statement of saying be sad, and this is an example. Of
it's me at Tanugim.
So
now you're countering that.
So now you're countering by saying I'm happy for a legitimate reason, and therefore I want to have meat. But I don't think it has to be. The truth is, if you don't like meat. The real question is, if you don't like meat, is real simcha.
No, that's the Rama.
Right?
Yeah, that's everyone say.
You don't have to have meat, because it's a din of simcha.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Shabbos is more of an. As I'm saying, people do the opposite.
Shabbos,
I'm saying, yeah.
Shabbos, you have to have meat, even if you don't like it, because Shabbos is the other way around.
Shabbos is oneg,
I like what I eat what I want. Sorry, to the way around. Shabbos, you have no.
But the argument is even on Yom Tov, there's a bit of you're saying that.